What's good, brother?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing swell.
Yeah, dude. So your purposeful breath. Can you talk about your journey with the purposeful breath? What you got plans for in the future? Just tell everybody kind of what you're doing in life right now.
Yeah, so purposeful breath was all about just that, like being purposeful with every breath you take. So it's like on this journey, I want to be able to just, take it one step at a time and really just like be present. And that's what I've been learning about for the last year of my life. And honestly, probably more than that, to be honest. But the plan for that is just to, kind of start spreading more of an awareness to, meditating and what it does for you. So,
Yeah, you talk about meditating. What is that? What is that? That's like a fairly new concept for people in our culture. It's not very popular. What is that? What is meditation to you? Why do you do it? What's the deal with that?
No, meditation to me is really just being aware of your thoughts and just being aware of yourself and in the present. And it's something that like a lot of people struggle with because they'll say, "Oh, I can't meditate because my mind isn't getting clear." The point of meditation is to clear your mind, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. And that's what meditation is to me. It's to clear my thoughts and allow me to create from a from an empty space. What's that word that people be talking about? It's like half filled, half empty, or whatever. And
The
it's
cup.
like they talk about the ether or
Pessimistic.
something, ether.
I've heard of that word,
It's
yeah.
like a I no, this is a cup full of ether. So it's like that's what I'm on now.
Yeah, I like that. Most people would be like, hey, I'm doing something wrong. My mind is going haywire. I don't want to do this anymore. So is that what you're saying? That's the point of it?
I'm saying that's the point. I'm saying you were doing something wrong the whole entire time by not sitting with them. So the point of meditation is to sit with your thoughts, and those thoughts that make you feel uncomfortable, you should sit with it. If it makes it too happy, you should sit with it. If it makes you too sad, you should sit with it. And what you do is you get used to being in that environment, whether it's uncomfortable or not. If you're too happy and if you're too in love with something, you'll be like tweaking out. Now, Michael Singer does this thing where he says, "All right, you're in love with this person, madly in love, and you can't live without them. All right, I'm gonna lock you in the room without being in contact with that person. How are you gonna feel after that?" These things are all emotions that are just hindering us from what we are really are, which is spirit and breath and awareness. So,
How do you implement this in like your daily routine? Is it at night, in the morning, midday? How long do you meditate for? What does that meditation routine look like for you on a daily basis?
So no, I honestly I try to meditate as much as I can. And for me, meditation is just being aware. So I'm trying to be present constantly throughout the day, but in a real life, what really is happening for me is really I'm more like this. I wake up in the morning, I'll start work a little bit, and it'll be like 10, 10:30, usually around that time. I sit and I meditate. So I'll sit there in silence, I'll breathe, I'll do some breathing techniques at times. It's usually different every day, to be honest. And then I'm like just sitting there, I'm listening. I'm just listening. And it's just like, damn, I'm fucked up. Like I'm a crazy ass person. At the beginning, it was so crazy. It was insane. Like I was thinking thoughts that like nobody should think. And it was insane. It started to get funny though. Like I was sitting there and I started laughing at it. And once I started to laugh, honestly, it kind of helped me like let go of those things. And then but my ritual is essentially this. I wake up in the morning, I go to work, I start to meditate, and then I'll journal it down. And I'll write like how I was distracted and how a thought drew me in. And then sometimes I'll go on outside and I'll make a video, which is going to be for the purposeful breath thing, plug in. but it's like I'll make a video of basically what I thought about, when I was meditating. And I want to get to the point where there's no thought, but I'm not there yet. So right now, when there are thoughts coming up, I'm going to be like, all right, now let me put this out for everybody else. Let me show you what my mind is thinking at times. Obviously, I show you guys like the good parts of it, but there's some crazy shit there too that like I definitely wouldn't want people to know, but I'm learning to be comfortable with those thoughts that are coming up in my head.
You communicate them in such a good way too, like on your stories and stuff like that. I know you haven't like fully started the purposeful breath yet, but I love living my life, encountering something, and then learning some sort of grand lesson. Like I talked to you about my dog. I won't go into the full story, but I got a dog because I guess I was praying slash manifesting, whatever you want to call it, be a more compassionate human being. And I think the way that it worked was universe, God, whatever you want to call it, again, got me that dog somehow, whether it was through my impulsiveness or whatever it was, to teach me those things, you know what I'm saying, in kind of a just a perfect way. So a lot of the words that go around like meditation or your lifestyle is a word, mindfulness. What is mindfulness and how do you practice it and how does it go hand in with like meditation?
Yeah, so I definitely don't know the like complete definition, but the definition of mindfulness to me is just honestly just being aware and being there, being present. And it all comes back to this simple fact that you are supposed to be here. You're supposed to be mindful of what's going on.
So I shouldn't dwell on my past?
No, the past, the past is mine and the future is mine.
Yeah.
Like, it's just mine. It doesn't matter. Like yeah, there are some great moments that you had and there were some bad moments that you had. Are you going to let that be the rest of your life? Like,
but dude, I love getting anxious about the future. Come on.
Being anxious about the future is like probably the worst thing that I had to deal with for a while. Like, cause you know, like me, who I am is someone who I came up with not shit. I didn't have nothing. You know, my mom was alcoholic. My dad wasn't really there much. And I was always worrying about like, all right, now if I can do this, maybe my mom will stop doing this and maybe my dad will come up. And it was just, you know, these thoughts, they just kept going for years and years and years. You know, thankfully my mother's sober now, you know, my father isn't always in my life, but he's there, you know, like it's not too big of a deal. But at the same time, like those thoughts created, like, honestly, it helped me a little bit, but then it like hindered me now. Like once I got to the point that I wanted to get, like I got to college, like that was my goal. And I got there and I was like, fuck, what now? Like there's not shit. And I was always worried about the future. I was never in the present. So I didn't really even know what I wanted to do. So I had no purpose. I was at college and I was fucked. And that's where meditation kind of came to me. Cultivating mindfulness like made me aware of what my passion and what my purpose was though. As I get more mindful, you know, the more things are kind of coming out in a more like, I would say, acting from inspiration rather than just doing random shit just to do it. You know, that's what I used to do all the time.
It's so hard not to worry about the future or the past or that stuff that comes up in your head when you're meditating because it can be scary. How do you practice the mindfulness? How do you practice staying in the present?
Yeah, no, it's difficult. It's definitely difficult. And the thing that Michael Singer taught me and the people that listened to him was to be aware of the steps that you were taking. You know, when you walk, you're usually thinking about something. So the walking is so automatic. And when you become aware that you're walking, it starts to get weird. It's like, damn, can I even fucking walk? But, you know, but that's one practice that I try to implement. Obviously, I'm not perfect and I'm not aware the entire time, but it'll get me back on track. So that's like one way that I try to stay mindful. Another is just when things do start to like trigger me, I catch that and I'm like, oh fuck, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Like in the grand scheme of it all, like nothing that we do here on this earth matters. Things go on, things move on, and people are so caught up on like, oh, I didn't make the basketball team in seventh grade. Anytime I see a basketball player, I hate that motherfucker. Anytime I see an athlete, I hate him. Like, you've seen this in, like, high school when girls would be like, the football players get everything. It's just like, let that shit go. You know, I've suffered with, like, enviness because I wasn't mindful because I was thinking about other people. That's not being mindful. Being mindful is being aware of what you feel, what you think.
Yeah, I had something upsetting happened to me the other day and I was sitting there kind of figuring out how to detach from it, and it really just came down to realizing like, oh wait, this doesn't have to affect this moment right now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like none of this everything that I'm creating inside my head, like, oh, this is the reality of the situation, this is the reality of the situation, this is what it's going to turn into, it's like none of that ever happens. You never predict anything. You know what I'm saying? Like you never predict the outcome of any situation that you run into, whether you argue with whoever, you know what I'm saying? Whatever happens.
And even if you do predict the right outcome of the situation, right? You're thinking of 1,000 other things that could be that. Like, it's just, we do too much with the mind. And the mind is like, it's a machine. You have to put the right code in it. You know, you have to work with it.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you was guided meditation versus unguided. So the guided, which I've experimented with. You go on YouTube, you look up guided meditation, and it guides you through. It helps you be mindful by feeling your body, feeling your feet, feeling your hands. Not with your other hands, but like feeling it within your body. And they guide you through some like, you know, melodic music and stuff like that. Do you know the difference, or do you know if there's, you know, I just wanted you to touch on guided meditation versus unguided. What do you think is more beneficial, or do you think just sitting there being mindful is beneficial enough?
I think that whatever works for you works for you. You know, I'm not typically doing guided meditations, but I did do one the other day, and it helped a lot, because I was like kind of stressed out, didn't even know it. And I was doing these breath works that was like insane work. And I was like, damn near not even able to breathe. But it just like I kept pushing through and it helped. So there's a lot of guided meditations. I definitely would recommend it for people who just start. I started off kind of with guided meditation, more of like, all right, now look at your nose for 2 minutes. You know, like, and that's how I kind of started with meditation. So it's definitely good to start with. I feel like once you are more comfortable with just sitting there, I think that's a good way to go. That's how I like it a lot, because it's just me. When people start talking, it kind of distracts me. So like when it's just me, I'm like, okay. But even the guided meditations though, like they'll bring you back to being aware of you rather than some random bullshit. But I just don't like when they stop me in the middle of like, I'm really getting into it. And then it's like, all right, 6 minutes in, talking again. Like there's not much time to really sit with it. It'll come back with words and shit. And I get it a little iffy about it, but I'm also a narcissist.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like with the guided meditations and stuff like that, you're not truly sitting with yourself. You're not truly observing what you are right now. You know what I'm saying? You're not listening to all the worries and stuff. You're kind of in this like psychedelic state where you might be thinking you're getting better. I think anytime you sit with yourself or just sit for a second and think and just feel your body is an amazing thing. But I think sitting with yourself, empty, quiet, not even a fan on, could help you a ton. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You talked about breath work, dude. I got to send you this one breath work. It's like an hour long. It starts off by holding your breath for like 30 seconds. Even that's hard now, dude. Yeah. I held my breath for a minute and 30 seconds the other day. And sometimes you hold your breath, and sometimes you release all the breath and then hold.
Yeah, no, I definitely need to do a little bit more breath work. I tried to start doing a little bit of it, and then I was just like, all right, let me just follow my breath. And I mean, that's still kind of breath work, but I wasn't following the breath as in like 8 seconds in, 8 seconds out, or 4 seconds in, 8 seconds out. I need to start doing that, because it'll make me concentrate on one simple thing, and that's my breath. And whenever I go away from it, it's definitely something that I need to get into, but I just haven't. It's definitely a mind state, and that's what it gets you into. It gets you into your mind state. So once you continue to do breath work, your mental health is going to improve, because you're being more comfortable with yourself. People who have terrible mental health, they're very uncomfortable with themselves.
You know, that's an amazing point.
Yeah, no, because I was fucked up before I started doing this shit. Like,
yeah, I was about to ask you, what benefits have you seen? Like, I know I already asked you about the benefits of meditation, yeah, but personally,
yeah,
for your journey, everybody's got a journey that they're going through within their heads, and like a side story, the main story actually, and then we put off this side story.
Yeah.
How has this benefited like your personal life and like your discovery and stuff like that?
It's a lot. It's definitely a lot. So honestly, with the relationships, it's been better for me, because, you know, I understand when people are upset now. Like, I understand that somebody's upset because of something else and they bring it out onto you. I don't get mad no more. I just be like, oh, I hope whatever you're going through, you know, helps you out. Like, I haven't been mad this entire summer at a person. You know, I've been mad at some of the thoughts that I've had, but I've never been mad at a person. And honestly, we've never been mad at people. We've only been mad at the thoughts that it created inside of our heads. So once I kind of came to that understanding, it helped me like deal with situations a little better. It helped me understand myself, and in turn, it helped me understand people. That's what meditation has done for me. And another thing that it has done is it taught me to be present, and it taught me to learn some of the lessons that I've skipped out on, like certain doors will open up for you that you wouldn't think are possible for you because you are meditating, because you are present, because you're aware in that moment, you know, and meditation leads to being aware in moments, yep, you know? So there's certain moments that I'll benefit from because I'm aware of the opportunity, you know, like, today, I was like outside reading, and instantly there was something that came up in my head that I was like, okay, I have to put this out right now. So that inspiration that I got because I was aware of the thoughts that were going on in my head came out and it made a video that I really enjoyed and personally liked. And I was like, wow, like this shit is crazy. I was aware. There's times when, like I try to do something. Like I used to try to rap. Trash. But I be spitting Minuteman Mirror.
Come on, man. You were producing some good stuff back in the day.
I was bringing us a little, you know. But no, one thing that always like fascinated me is when Vinny would freestyle. I'd be like, bro, how the fuck do you remember what you're saying to that? I assume that he was in his head. You know, like he's in tune with his head. Obviously, this is assumptions, but like there's no way that you can remember so much stuff in your head unless you're there. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're with it. And I was just like, shit, now that kind of, honestly, it inspires me to be more with myself. I'm like, shit, if he can spit like that, I wonder how well I could talk if I, you know, am there more and I'm understanding myself and my thoughts a little bit more clear.
Cultivating a life around you that is peaceful. Like a lot of people that are going to meditate after watching this or going to at least try it have a lot of unnecessary baggage or unnecessary things going on in their life that they've either committed to because of another reason or just an unfortunate situation that they've put themselves within to, and just so much unnecessary things. It's harder for that person to, they might have a little bit more going on and stuff. Would you say that your life that you've cultivated, which is peaceful, explained, has that helped in your meditation journey? Has that helped in just your spiritual journey and your meditation process? Does it make it a little bit easier to observe those thoughts or?
I mean, so I would say yes and no, because it definitely is a direct correlation from meditating. My life has become more peaceful because, not because of the events that happen, because there's chaotic things that happen outside of me that I can't control, but because of the inner work that I've done. You know, your inner world will be directly put in front of your face in the outside world. So when one person sees a fire and they're panicking, me, I see the people that have been saved from that fire. You know, like, hopefully. That's like the goal of everything. Like, the United States is going crazy. We might be drafted. You know, like, none of that matters to me. And what matters is what I'm thinking in my head and what, you know, what I'm doing, not what's going on the outside that could happen. Because if I could sit here and worry about the draft, I'd be like, oh, shoot myself in the foot or something. You know, like, things are not less chaotic outside. Things are the exact same. Things will always be the same. Like, people will always be getting hurt, and there's people that will be doing well and people that will be doing bad. You're here to say, I'm here to say, my life, my peaceful life, I would say, I'm here to say, it's okay. You know, it's okay. You're going to get hurt. You're going to kick your toe on this fucking side of the table. It's going to hurt, but it's going to go away. Pain always goes away. Pain is temporary. Joy is temporary. All of these emotions are temporary. So why would I even indulge in the chaotic life? I still want to be open to new experiences. So I am not going to stop doing things that are chaotic in a way that do maybe take away from the peace, because it teaches me in those, every time I'm in a moment that is chaotic, I learn from it rather than get afraid of it or react to it. I learn from it. It's like, okay, what can I learn from this situation? Like, I've had so many things like be brought to me, even when I was a kid, because I would say that I was pretty mindful as a child, like watching my siblings make a mistake. I sat there, I'm not mad that they made the mistake. You know, I'm irritated to a little bit of a point, like, why are you coming home high in front of my mom? Like, I know she be drinking and all that shit, but like, come on, like, that's kind of disrespectful. So I was like, shit, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get high, come home, and look at my mom's face. I'm going to get high, and I'm going to hide in my basement. but like, those things, like, being mindful that early on, like, it's helped. It definitely helped me now. But once I got lost, I lost that ability to learn from, like, the mistakes that other people made or even the mistakes that I've made. Like, I lost that ability, and I had a victim mentality. I blamed everybody else for things that were happening, things that I were doing. You know, I blamed all these other things. And once I came to myself, I learned that it's okay. It's okay. It's really okay at the end of the day. And in that video you showed me, I've been watching this shit. Dude, that shit was like the most like beautiful experience I've ever watched.
The Quentin experiment?
Yeah. Yeah. When he was like, man, I just like, it's true support. It's like, it's not support as in your endeavors, but it's like you're holding the baby and you're supporting the baby.
When you watch a YouTube video and you feel a sense of comfort, like with everything that is going on, it's something special. It's so cool. That guy does a great job, the Quentin experiment.
Dude. Have you ever, It's a sad thing that you know, God, you know, this all encompassing being, say there is a God, which there is, but like, imagine this, like, he was so lonely. It was just him. And I'm saying him just because, you know, it's not just a boy or a girl, obviously, but this thing was so lonely that it wanted to experience joy, and it created us. It wanted to experience pain, wanted to experience everything that you're experiencing right now.
Everything
ever experienced, that's God, right? And we are all a piece of that God. If we lived like that, if we truly lived and we knew that we were God, if we knew that, how much better would life be? People will sit here and be like, well, oh, that's not what the Bible teaches. It sounds like it when Jesus Christ says that the Spirit's within us and heaven's within and all of these things. It sounds like he's telling you that you're God, you know, and not in a sense of where you need to be this all, I know all things, because you don't, because you're just a fragment of God. Not even like, everything in here is God. You're not even a slither. Like, it's like, if the world is infinite, you are one. And that's like, that's crazy to me. Yeah. Like, and it's like, okay, if everything I do affects everybody around me because they are all me and they are all God, how should I live? That's the question. How should I live if everybody is me? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, the golden rule, treat others like how you want to be treated. How would you treat God?
Yeah.
If you knew, like, I would be like, thank you. Like, I'd be grateful at all moments. Yeah, yeah. So if we can reach that state, knowing that everyone is God, knowing that you've made mistakes and that person is making a mistake and it doesn't affect you. Like, why does it affect you? Because you understand now that people make mistakes. People are people. People don't know. They don't know what, you know, like the Lauryn Hill song. It'd be like, forgive them for they do not know, or whatever, you know, like, shit, that's even some shit from the Bible too.
Yeah.
But like,
no, it is. Yeah. As soon as you said that, I was like, that's biblical.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, Ramir, you know, and going to college, especially, you're on this path right now, you're faced with a ton of temptation left and right from everything across the board, dude. I know this is like, what, our third year. What's your plan to kind of stay focused in the face of temptation and all that? You know, what is your plan for all that?
Yeah, no, that's actually great that you asked me. I just made like a schedule that I will follow. I'll follow this plan religiously. I'm gonna wake up in the morning, I'm hitting the gym, I'm meditating, I'm eating a good breakfast, you know, I'm doing the right things, I'm going to class, I'm doing my work, and then all the other shit, it's just other shit. So these temptations and shit, like, honestly, temptations are like, you know, like, I don't necessarily get tempted by things majority of the time. If I'm going and I'm doing something, it's usually because I do it. Like, there's not really much that I can be tempted to do. Like, girls,
it's not like a situation where it's like, should I do it or not? Yeah, it's just like, you just do it.
Like, yeah, if I...
Because you want to. You're just like, whatever.
Yeah, if I guess I am tempted, you know, with lustful thoughts, but
there probably is an objective temptation going on, but it's like, there's only a temptation if there's a truth, you know what I'm saying? If there's some sort of fundamental truth, then there's a temptation away from that. I think what you're trying to say is like that truth kind of is like within you and it kind of moves, you know what I'm saying? Like, which I think is a fair, valid perspective on life. So
I just try to be me, you know, I've really been trying to be just completely authentic, and the truth is, I'm not perfect. I'm not, like, there's no telling what I might do when I go back to school, you know. But one thing I do know is I'm gonna stay on this spiritual path. I'm gonna meditate every day, you know. I'm gonna stick to it because it's I missed a day of meditation. I was so pissed. I was so pissed. And I was so irritated the next day. I was lazy. It was not good. You know, like, now that I've meditated so much, it's just not good to not meditate.
Yeah.
You know, like, looking in my journal and seeing that I missed a day, it's like, damn, it's not, because I got the dates on there. Yeah. I got the times. Like, it's like, damn, I really just, for what? I couldn't sit down for 15 minutes when I was watching 8 hours of fucking anime, you know, or just doing something that doesn't matter. Like, you couldn't meditate 15 minutes before you go out to the bar. You know, like, those are things that you just have to do. You know, like, if you don't do it, where will you be? Where will you end up at? How many more thoughts will come in and they don't come out?
Right.
You know, how committed are you to being your best self? And that's the question that I'm going to get asked this year at school. How committed are you to being your best self?
You're going to get faced with that a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, this year I expect there to be lots.
People pull you in directions and they won't even know that they're doing that. And
yeah.
That's not even like their fault or anything like that.
No, it's just the flow.
You setting, you know, that, you know, discipline to do those things. You know what I'm saying? Anytime I would, you know, like I was a kicker in college, and anytime I didn't, you know, every time I ate even a snack or something that had like sugar in it or something, I was like so hard on myself. I'm like, I can't believe I did that this day when I'm really trying to achieve something great for me. You know what I'm saying? And because it's like progress is like down, up a little bit, down, 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 up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that is the truth right there.
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's a roller coaster. See, the thing about the roller coaster is like at the end of it, you just get off. You just like fly up. And you might crash and your body dies and you go up to do something. Like the roller coaster is really a fun thing, because at the end of it, we're all going to go to the same place. You know, we'll all ascend back to the one consciousness, you know, rather than the 8 billion that we have. But it's just, I can't wait to die.
Hey, bro, you good?
Hey, bro. Hey, like, off camera, off the record, bro. It's like, I'm excited for, like, I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I want to live.
You're
this.
You're not afraid of
that. Yeah, yeah. You know, I probably have still some fear in it, but I'm, like, excited to see what happens after, you know, you leave this physical plane.
As long
like,
as you have a trust that it's going to be something good. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people will use your fear of the afterlife to control your beliefs, control who you are, make you do something that you don't want to, or keep you at a certain level.
Yeah, fear-mongers.
Yeah, fear-mongering. having that faith and that trust in the universe that it's going to take care of you. You know what I'm saying?
Like, when have you not, like, really? When have you not been taken care of? Like, are you breathing? Are you, like, people will put, like, their failures at, not even failures, but the situation that they're in as, like, the end-all be-all. Like, oh, I was forced to, y'all don't know where I'm from. I was forced to go out there and kick. Like, you didn't have to be friends with none of them. You know, like, you made the choice to be friends with these people, and then you made the choice to do it. And I get it. Peer pressure is a real thing. But at the same time, you made that choice. Mm-hmm. You could have been caressed to do it, but you really didn't have to do it. You really didn't have to do it. You really didn't have to take the risk of dying at 14 to feed your family. You could have still, you struggled for 14 years. You can struggle for 6 more. Mm-hmm. Like, people will take the shortest route that leads you to the worst place. Like, it's foolish. Yeah, that is not cool. That is not cool. It's not cool to glorify death. And it's not cool to glorify cooking crack and sending it to somebody's auntie. Because at the end of the day, like, you're ruining someone's life. Like, you're actively taking part in ruining someone's life. Yeah, they made the choice to come and buy it from you. But you sold it. You're selling something that kills people. You know, like, and then you get mad at the government for selling wars. Making money off of wars or some shit. Like, motherfucker, you listen to music that glorifies selling crack and fucking ingesting drugs that kill you. You know what I'm saying?
Have you seen Ice Cube come out about gangster rap being a psyop?
Dude, I seen a
video. It's actually amazing,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. I seen a video of
sorry, I just wanna
No, hell yeah, no. Put
make
that shit
sure
on
that
play.
What I'm saying is correct.
How they had like a conference. They had a conference that was like, this is what you're gonna continue to push. You know, like, the record labels came together and was like, all right, these artists got to push this message.
And NBA Youngboy did that too, Gangstar. Gangsta. NBA Youngboy came out and he's like, I can't believe what I was putting in people's ears. I can't believe what they made me say.
Yeah, he was and shaking
like
and that. Shit.
Yeah, he was like, you could hear it in his voice, dude. Yeah. And I don't know if that was itself a psyop, but yeah, that was interesting to see NBA Youngboy come out and say that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Somebody who raps about the most
awful shit.
Crazy stuff. Searching.
They're like, the CIA does not want me to allow you to have that information.
Some discussion about Ice Cube making comments related to gangster rap being influenced by government or corporate interests. They can't. Yeah, I figured this statement right here would be in there. Nuanced. Especially since I've seen it off some sort of post on Instagram, which curates my entire reality as I know it.
Yeah, the private prisons one is crazy.
What is
like,
that one?
The same people that own these record labels own these fucking prison sales. So
private prisons?
All the prisons are like private. Like they're not owned by
no,
the government.
No public?
They make money off of it. It's you make money by more people being in there. That shit is some bullshit. That is crazy. That is crazy. But yeah, now the same people that own those labels that are pushing these messages to go and kill each other so you can go end up in prison and make me more money, those are the same people.
Everything is run by corporations.
Yeah. Even the United States itself is a corporation. Anytime you go to war, what is it for? It's for money. It's for control over oil. So you only sell on USD so we can have the top dollar. Shit, hey, good strategy. Good strategy to stay on the top, but that's fucked
up. It's an excellent business idea.
It is. It is a great one. It is a great one. I commend the people that came up with this idea. They really did a good job.
They probably tapped into something that was psychedelic in some sort of psychedelic realm. They were like, how am I going to control billions of people?
Yeah, no. They had that. Millions. They had that.
Billions.
Everyone is controlled by the dollar.
Yeah.
Everyone. Like,
that is an
insane.
Elaborate. Almost inhuman type of, there's no way a human could
they were like
that.
All right, look, okay, as soon as they are born,
yeah,
let's have them their parents sign a paper
born, the system works for itself. I'm saying, like, it eventually it snowballs so much into where it's just a giant,
you can't get out of it. You got a birth certificate, you got a social security number, you got a, I mean, you can, I don't know the way, but I know that there's a way to get out of that. And it's like, if anybody knows that way, hit me up. Like,
Dad. So for someone, I'll bring it back to the meditation. For someone that is a beginner trying to get into meditation, I don't know what you consider yourself, but what do you say would be the first steps to cleaning up your life via meditation, or clearing out the all the crap that's within your brain, your subconscious? What do you say would be the first step for a beginner?
The first step for a beginner, honestly, you don't even have to listen to yourself. Just write. Write a couple things down. Like, write how you're feeling, why you're feeling it, what your goals are, what the things around you are doing to influence your goals. Write those things and see that, okay, am I in the mind state of the person that's doing this? And if you're not, you got some work to do. If you are, go ahead, be a delinquent, you know, like, go ahead and do it. But the first step is just write some stuff down. Just write down your wake up in the morning and write down your thoughts. See how crazy they are.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
So once you see those thoughts, once you actually see those thoughts, I've done that before, writing down my thoughts. And it's there. Some of them get crazy, man. It's like, this is really sitting into me right now. Like, why? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Why am I thinking about burning a whole entire homeless shelter down?
Yeah, I
was watching a couple. The Instagram reels got me. You know, like, there'll be Instagram reels playing in my head that are like so sick and disgusting, and I'm like, no,
dude. I've been researching how to grow a podcast, how to grow a following, and stuff like that. And one thing I was sitting there watching is these course sellers are doing the same thing everyone is doing, just exploiting the algorithm, no actual quality, just exploiting the algorithm, using, and I'm interested in this, I won't lie, I am interested in this, but human psychology within sales, human psychology within attention. But yeah, you're making a bunch of money, right? Mm-hmm. You're making a bunch of money by getting people's attention, selling them some course, just telling them to post every day and stuff like that, but you're not actually teaching them what's going on.
Yeah.
It's quite horrible. It's horrible. And it's every reel. They're saying the same exact thing. Yeah. Everything. Because, you know, the For You pages, For You, the algorithms. The algorithms themselves are not evil. It is literally a machine designed to retain your attention, and it learns your behavior and it trains itself because it's that advanced. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it just puts out the best videos for you to, you know, the highest chance for you to stay scrolling.
Yeah.
Isn't that evil?
It is.
The algorithm itself isn't evil, but it's like
Mark Zuckerberg. Fuck you, Mark.
Did you see him surfboarding on a, I gotta show you this.
Yeah, you gotta show me,
dude. This is funny, dude. This was recently.
Surfing.
Is that it? Is it?
It's right there.
Oh, nice surfing meme. Check this out.
Oh,
dude.
And they can see this now.
This
too.
Ain't it.
Oh, this is it. Oh, that's it. What? That's him.
In the USA. Ball. That's a psyop. Chat.
Hold that on, shit me... was awesome as fuck, though.
This is sweet, and this is what he wants. This is what people want.
He's not right. Sorry.
He's your friend. Look at this guy. He is like,
dude,
you.
He's America.
He doesn't have billions of dollars. That's America right there.
That's
man.
America.
What's
he's,
he drinking
he's,
on?
He's in a suit.
Yeah, suit. American
a suit
flag.
In the water.
He's on the lake.
Hey, Mark Zuckerberg, if you watching, bro, give me a deal, bro.
Yeah, give me
I'll
a deal.
I'll be a great informant for you.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
I won't talk about how they're stealing babies from the immigrants that are coming in and consuming them. Sorry.
I really appreciate you coming, dude. This has been freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to cut this down to about 30 to 45 minutes, but dude, this is awesome. We definitely need to do this again.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say regarding Purposeful Breath that's coming out? Do you plan to offer like courses? Do you like that actually help people? What is your plan and what do you want to say to everybody watching?
Yeah, no. So Purposeful Breath, it's coming soon. You know, I made a spelling error. So right now it says Purposeful Breathe, you know, classic mistake.
Yeah. You texted me. You said follow Purposeful Breath, but it's spelled with an E. Is it breathe or breath?
Yeah,
he was like, damn it.
Nigga can't spell. But, so basically, look out for that. I'm going to be posting content. Some of them is going to be, like, the old videos that I already had posted. But there's more in the works. I'm looking to start really doing more of, like, the podcast shit. I got some equipment for it. So, you know, I'll start that one day. But for now, I would never try to offer any courses for money. You know, what I would like to do is to be able to do everything for free. And to teach, because knowledge is something that should be free and accessible to everybody. So I'll just be able to spread the knowledge through the videos. And if you want to talk to me, hit me up. I don't be doing nothing. Hit me up. That would be the greatest thing for me, because it gives me a chance to learn from you and you to learn from me. And it could be a very mutual, beneficial experience. So hit me up. You know my shit is Ramir Kyles.
Yeah, is that your Instagram, at Ramir Kyles?
Just at Ramir Kyles. Hit me up. If you ever want to talk about anything, if you're ever going through anything, like, I'm here to listen and help. You know, my name means wisdom and to counsel. That is me. Like, for real, bro. Lock in with me. If you don't lock in with me, it's going to be a fucking problem. I promise you. I'm running up. Look, I'm going to be knocking on your doors, and I'm going to be like.
It's true.
Purposeful breath. You know.
Breathe.
Hopefully one day I get some merch out there, you know. I'm thinking about some ideas of how I want to even, like, go on and do that, but that'll be far, far into the
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you. Yeah. Thanks, Ramir.
And this was Ramir's reality.
Thanks, bro.